About God's anointing, and we are going to swim in it, and we are going to walk in it today, God's anointing. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are excited to be here. Pastor Jim Ellsbury is in the studio today, live with me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, and it's exciting to be here today,
Jim. Oh, it is exciting. You can just feel the anointing all over this place.
It is. I just love to do this radio show, and those of you that join us on a regular basis or even sporadically, we're just so glad you're with us today. We have the extra stations that have been added to this whole group in the last year. And so this broadcast is live in about 8 states now, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. And it just goes out everywhere on the web right this moment. If you're listening in the Tampa Bay area on the radio, that's 1340 AM, you can actually get a great sound on your computer. And that is www.tantalk1340.com. And so we are live on the web around the globe right now. Don't know what time it is in Norway, but I'm sure they know.
I would hope they know.
Yes, that's right. So we're so glad you're joining us. I'll give you the good life. We are excited about today's show. This is turning out to be a healing series about Jesus, and we're now on our third show about Jesus the healer. And if you've missed last week or the week before, you can go to our website,
www.beaconofhopeministries.com.
Yes, and find it right there. All the radio shows, really, for the last couple of years, and more besides that are there. We have a huge capacity on our website.
We must.
I checked the website this morning, and the sermon that I preached last Sunday morning is up there on our website.
Oh,
now.
Praise God. Something new on the website.
Yes.
Is we're able to put the sermons and very soon the Wednesday night Bible studies.
Absolutely.
Up on the website. So that is...
Isn't that exciting?
That is so exciting, because if you can't make it, and I know, you know, we're doing it. I'm going to put a little plug in for
myself. Please, go right ahead. Put your plug in while I get a drink of water.
Up until the week of the Resurrection Sunday,
yeah.
On the Jewish roots of the Christian faith,
mm-hmm.
And we've talked about the Book of Ruth. We talked last week kind of a history lesson, kind of the Jewishness of the Gospels in the early church.
Right.
We're really going to focus in this week on Romans 9, 10, and 11.
Oh, yeah. Great passages.
Wonderful. There's so much wonderful stuff. Anyway, the Wednesday before Resurrection Sunday, we are going to actually do a Passover Seder,
yes,
at church.
Tell people what that is, those of you that might not be familiar with that term, Seder.
It's the Passover meal.
Yes.
Like Jesus and the disciples did the night before he was crucified. We're going to do it. We do one with a messianic significance.
Right.
That shows, because a whole meal,
right,
a whole Passover meal points to Jesus.
Exactly.
And that's what we're going to be bringing out while we do this.
Oh, it'll be great. We did that last year, and it was wonderful and received well, and people began to understand more. And right now we're in a period of time at Beacon of Hope where we are really studying the Gospels. This series is It's All About You, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really going to get into another aspect of healing, how to get your healing more so today maybe than you have ever understood before. It will be very important for you to get a pad of paper and a pen that works, and your Bible, and get ready, get cozy, get in your comfortable chair, and get ready to take notes in a few minutes, because this that we are going to teach today, Pastor Jim, is life-changing to people, is it not?
It will be.
We're going back to the Old Testament and show where it was prophesied, what Jesus was going to do when he came to this earth. And we are going to help people understand why healing for their bodies and their emotions is now. Mm-hmm. Not someday when you go to heaven.
Right.
But it is, and of course then also, so because we're all going to look
then
pretty
ultimately.
Cool. Ultimately, yeah. We're going to look like our 20-something selves, which is kind of cool. But that's my interpretation, by the way. Anyway, but for now, we can be walking and healing right this moment.
Absolutely. And you know, it didn't end when John put the last period in the last verse of Revelation.
It did not.
Healing has continued, and it's a gift for the church.
Exactly.
You know, it's something Jesus paid for.
Amen.
And he never took it back.
He paid for it, and he didn't return it, right?
Right. Healing is for today.
Amen. Amen. So often people go shopping, and they pay for something, and they take it back and say, I don't want this after all. But that is not what Jesus did on the cross,
Amen.
Right? He paid for our healing, and he did not say, forget that. I messed up. That was
right.
a mistake. Guys, we are going to, I am so excited about this today, Pastor Jim. I have been fighting something the last few days, and I'm a little hoarse, and part of that, I think, is from coughing and singing and all that stuff we did today, and I think preaching and all that. But, you know, really, no matter what it is that tries to attack our bodies, we are going to learn today more than ever how to fight it and how to resist it.
Amen.
Okay? And even if you may not be feeling real good right now as you cuddle up with your favorite blankie in your favorite chair, that's all right. By the time we get done with the show, hopefully you will jump up out of that chair and declare that Jesus is your healer. So we are excited about this, and you are listening to Living the Good Life, and you have plenty of time, because this is a two-hour live show every Sunday,
yes,
to call a friend. Get on the phone, call a friend, and say, oh, by the way, I'm listening to this show, and I want you to join me in listening today. And you can listen in the Tampa Bay area, 1340 AM, or around the world, www.tantalk1340.com. And right before we go to this next song, Pastor Jim, is there a way, if they have a friend that's missed the show, how they can grab it?
Well,
like tomorrow?
Sure. Well, yeah, you just go to our website. Let's say you missed last week, so you want to hear
yes.
all the shows that we've done, you know, so far this month on healing. You just go to our website, and you can go to, well, it's actually on the front page, the main
right.
page of the website, or you click radio,
yeah.
and it'll take you to the radio page. You can find them there.
Right.
Everything we've done.
Absolutely. Okay.
And I was going to mention, too.
Go ahead.
That
oh yes, you've got internet
up. We do have the email up, so
yeah.
If you have any questions or comments for Pastor, just email us at pastor
yes.
at beaconofhopeministries.com.
During the show.
During the show,
yeah.
and we'll bring it up. We'll love
answer.
To hear from you.
All right. Don Moen, Jesus, you are my healer.
Jesus, Son of God, only you can save me. Suffering on the cross, you gave your all, willingly paid the cost for me. Now I am free. Jesus, you are my healer, oh Jesus, touch me and I will be free, for by your stripes I am healed, I am healed, oh Jesus, you are my Savior. My strength and my shield. I put my trust in your name, in your name, Jesus. Lord, your name is great.
Yes, it is.
A refuge I can run to, a shelter from the storm, a faithful friend, and I can depend on you, my God, my King. I lift my voice and worship Jesus. my trust in your name. In your name.
Praise God. I love that song.
Oh,
I asked
Connie.
Just
singing along.
I asked her to put it on the show again today, even though we had it on, I think, the last couple weeks, because I just love that new new song written by Don Moen, Jesus, You're My Healer. That's another advantage of going to our website and hearing the shows again. You get to hear the music. Yeah. All right. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Let's get your Bibles. We're going to Isaiah 53, and it is a powerful, powerful chapter. We are not going to get every single bit of this chapter done, but we're going to get some main highlights here. Isaiah was a prophet, and he lived about 700 or 800 years before the birth of Jesus. Do you have anything you want to add about him, Pastor Jim?
Well, apparently he had some royal connections.
Some royal connections.
He could move in and out of the court. It seems at will. You know, he had so it. He may have been related to the line of King David.
That's cool.
You know, he prophesied during the reigns of three good and one really rotten king.
Okay.
So.
All right. Good old Isaiah.
Good old Isaiah.
But Isaiah, it's interesting how the Lord just inspired him, how God inspired him so beautifully. This passage is probably is the heart. Don't you think, of the Bible?
Right. And of all, I have to say, I'm a little prejudiced for Isaiah because all the books in the Old Testament,
right,
Isaiah is my favorite. I mean,
really?
It's just, there's so much prophecy, and it's just such a beauty. I mean, it's just a beautiful book.
Beautiful book.
You know?
And so if you have your Bible, go to Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to start out reading. Pastor Jim, you want to read like the first... Oh, let's just go the first three just to start with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Oh, wow. That's talking about Jesus.
Amen.
It's a prophecy 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. And Isaiah, think about him sitting there and writing this and wondering, God, what is it you're going to do here?
I've seen a painting somewhere.
Yeah.
And I forget where, but it's Isaiah, like, writing this, but it's like... Back behind him is his vision of the cross.
Oh, wow.
And for those of you who can see me.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was just really cool because he was, I mean, look at this. Look at these first three verses.
Yes.
He grew up like a tender shoot and a root out of dry ground.
Right.
I mean, he just.
Well, the Jewish nation was very dry
at that
and
point.
Traditional and religious and all that when Jesus came on the scene.
He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should, you know, desire him. It was not that he was, you know, outstandingly handsome or anything. He just, you know, he was just average looking.
Right.
Which, you know, you'd think the Messiah should be something special. But
right.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering.
Yes.
Those words comfort me.
Yes, they do.
You know, and I think that speaks to the emotional healing. You know, he was despised and rejected. They crucified him, for heaven's sakes.
Right.
And a man of sorrows.
Yes.
He was betrayed by someone he'd been with for well over 2 years, if not over three.
Right. Judas Iscariot. Yes.
Right. I mean, he was betrayed by somebody who was supposed to be a good friend. All his closest associates deserted him.
Right. And it says he was familiar with suffering, and that helps us, just, you know.
Well, I mean,
because we're all familiar with suffering, right?
You read this a couple of weeks ago, out of Mark,
right?
His own family for a while thought he was crazy.
That's exactly
right. They're going to come and take custody of him because they thought he'd lost his mind.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, here's somebody who's
rejected
by the elders, the religious leaders,
right.
His own family, his disciples at one point.
Exactly.
And then you know, like one from whom we hide our faces. He was despised. We esteemed him not. We just didn't.
Yeah.
You know, Isaiah is saying we, and I believe there he's speaking of the world.
Right.
You know, everybody, but specifically, of course, the Jewish nation, we esteemed him not. We didn't count him as anything important.
Right. And you know that had to hurt Jesus, you know, who was fully human, you know, because he came to this earth and laid aside his deity,
right.
And he was fully human, and he felt those things. And I think that helps all of us understand that Jesus felt the things that we feel here,
right.
Now, walking
right.
This earth. We've all felt the rejection from people. We've all felt the sorrow when somebody turns their back on us, you know. Or, you know, when something awful happens in our lives, we lose somebody. We feel that grief and that sorrow.
Right.
And Jesus was acquainted with all of that. And so, dear one, let's start making our points for you right this moment. Because no matter what sorrow you're going through right now, no matter what grief or what loss that you are experiencing or have experienced, Jesus understands that pain and that sorrow. He really, really understands it. And if we look at verse 4, I just love this. I love verse 4 because we get down to the real nitty-gritty about pain and sickness and disease. Verse 4 in Isaiah 53 says, "Surely he took up our infirmities." Took them up. And I mentioned this morning in my sermon that word there, took up, is the Hebrew word nasa, like NASA, like the space program,
yes,
that we have, right?
Takes away.
Go ahead.
You know, it's that taking them as far as the east is from the west sort of thing.
There you go.
You take them far away.
Far away.
Up and away.
Take them away. What do we take? What did he take away?
He took away our infirmities.
Yes.
And he carried our sorrows.
Wow. And the word there for infirmities, it really translates sicknesses. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Took our sicknesses. Now, this is 700 or 800 years before Jesus actually came. God the Father already knew what he was going to put on his son. He knew that he was going to put all the sicknesses, all the suffering, all the sorrow, all the grief on Jesus. Isn't that cool? Go ahead.
Think of it. He took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. So he took them willingly. Our infirmities, our sorrows, our griefs.
Amen.
But we considered him to be stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted.
Right.
We see Jesus carrying all this.
Right.
And it's, and the world at large looks at this as him doing something stupid,
bad.
Or
right.
He must have done something really bad.
Yeah, he must be being punished
because we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted.
It's a bad thing.
Yeah, like it's a bad thing that he did this.
But it's such a cool thing that God the Father, in his love for us, allowed all of our sicknesses and our distresses and our sorrows and our griefs and our pains to be put on his son. That is huge.
Right. Right. I mean, it's just...
Wow.
It just hit me when I was reading this again of course, it's about the 9 millionth time.
Right, exactly.
Until we get saved, until we get that revelation, and I just read, you know, been reading Romans chapter 10.
Yes.
Until we get that revelation of who Jesus is, and we don't understand that he willingly took our infirmities and our griefs, we look at it as he's nuts, or why in the world would he die on the cross?
A lot of the world still looks at it like that. They don't understand the incredible significance for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And listening audience, this is one thing we want you to get, so get your pen and write this down. What Jesus did on the cross, he did willingly, and he did it for you. Not necessarily for the Pope or some big religious leader. It's for all of us, including the Pope and all religious leaders, but it's for you.
Yeah,
you know?
It says, surely he took up our infirmities, our sorrows.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
And we have to go to verse 5.
Let's go to verse 5. Let's go there. We are in Isaiah 53, verse 5, if you just joined us.
But he was pierced for our transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed.
By his wounds we are healed. And we will get back to that point in a minute. But those of you taking notes, write that down. By his wounds we are healed. In the Message Bible, it says this. The fact is, it was our pains he carried. Our disfigurements. Which, I mean, whoa. All the things wrong with us. Now, a lot of us maybe are physically well, but maybe we've got a whole lot of things wrong with us emotionally. You know, maybe we've got addictions we can't seem to kick. Maybe we've got deep emotional scars and pain that we can't seem to get over. So I'm going to read that again in the Message Bible. The fact is, what verse is that in the NIV? We can find it here in a minute. The fact is, it was our pains he carried. Our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. I think it's about verse 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him.
Verse 4.
4, okay. That God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him.
Verse 5.
Verse 5. That ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. In the Message Bible, it says, through his bruises, we get healed. NIV says, through his wounds, we are healed. At any rate, it's the same thing. We are healed. It's not we might be in the good old by and by, it pie in the sky when we die. Hallelujah. I'll fly away. It doesn't say that. It says we are healed.
Right.
We get healed. We get to receive healing. It's for us. It is now. Boy, I can preach this.
Oh, you can too.
This will preach, Pastor Jim. Where are you going?
Well, I was going to go back to 1 Peter.
Okay, let's go there. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:24.
Yeah.
Because we know where we're going.
What
a great little scripture right there. 1 Peter 2:24.
Right. And, we'll start in verse 21.
Okay.
To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been, past tense, healed.
Okay, let's listen to it in the Message Bible. This is good. Starting with verse 21 of 1 Peter 2. This is the kind of life you've been invited into, the kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done. And also know how to do it, step by step. He never did one thing wrong. Not once said anything amiss. They called him every name in the book, and he said nothing back. He suffered in silence, content to let God set things right. He used his servant body, listen to this, to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of sin, free to live the right way. Next sentence. Everybody ready? It's five words of the Message Bible. His wounds became your healing. His wounds became your healing. Now, that says, was your healing? Was it?
By his wounds, you
have been healed.
I'd have to check the tense. That's probably either aorist, which is, okay, once for all, it happened in the past.
Right.
Which is, okay, either way, whether it's aorist or perfect, which means I am healed based on something that happened in the past.
Right.
Either way works out fine.
Right.
It's still ours. It is already done.
So it's something that I am because this happened.
Yes. Okay. I am healed because what Jesus did on the cross. By his stripes, we have been, past tense, healed.
Okay.
So it's already ours.
It's already ours. Okay. So last week you were gone, and we missed you very much, and you were in Indiana for your father's
80th birthday.
When you were born, you were your father's son.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still your father's son?
Yes.
Because he gave life to you through your mother, right?
Right.
That's not changed. He didn't one day say, no, I'm not Jim's dad. I know that happens, that people sometimes say, wait a minute, you know, they get on Maury Povich and they find out that they're not somebody's dad. But I'm not talking about that. I mean, for most of us, you know, my dad is my dad forever.
Right.
Okay? He gave life to me through my mother, right? Okay. So it was a done deal when it happened and when that sperm and egg collided and suddenly here comes a new life springing from that. So what you were given eventually, you were born a living being by something that was not even anything that you had anything to do with.
Right.
Right? I mean, it just happened. You know, this child was created and was born, and you can go back and say, no, you weren't the cause of that, but it's true. Your dad was the cause of that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we look at this spiritually, our healing, what was already done for us is we can walk in that now. I will always be. I have no problem. Somebody says, now, whose daughter are you? And I'll say, oh, I'm that pastor, preacher, missionary, evangelist, Bill Wagner's daughter. You know, that's who I am, you know. I have no problem being that person. You know, I don't try to deny that. And so I walk in that with my family, you know. I'm a part of a family because of who I am. Okay? And when it comes to our healing, I think so often we think we've got to do something to deserve it, to claim it. You know, we're going to talk about this. Today, we really want to emphasize that it is yours. It is yours right. By what was already done for you by the Father through the Son.
Right. It's part. Go ahead. It's part of the package of salvation.
Yes, yes it is. Amen. Sign for the package.
It took me a little bit of time to really realize this. But first of all, the word salvation includes healing.
It does.
I mean, just in the Greek, it includes wholeness, well-being, deliverance, preservation, healing. It covers all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, in the same almost breath, although he was writing, Peter says, okay, you know, your sins are forgiven and
right.
You're healed.
Right.
Boom, boom. It's all part of the same package.
Same package.
Yeah. By his stripes we are healed. Well, when did he get those stripes? Before he went to the cross. He
right.
was given... Some scholars say 39 stripes, however many stripes.
Right, exactly.
You know, by those stripes, by those wounds that he was given, the stripes on his back, the scars, the cuts from the crown of thorns,
right.
The nails
right.
in his hands and feet, the spear piercing his side, by those wounds, we have been healed. And no, I don't know how, I mean... It's a mystery. I can't explain how. I just know this. The Word of God says that by those wounds,
well,
I am healed.
Okay. How does he take your sin away?
By the blood.
Okay. But we can't see it happen.
Right.
But we know it happens because we feel... You know, some people, when they get saved and accept Jesus into their heart, they say, I didn't feel anything. But, you know, sometimes feelings, it takes a while for them to catch up. But right. There is that day sometimes when we begin to realize, wow, I'm saved. If I die tonight, I'm in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. And you accept that truth by mm-hmm. faith, right?
Right. Right.
Go
and,
ahead.
Well, and yeah, the Word of God says... That when Jesus, you know, after Jesus was resurrected, he ascended briefly to the Father.
Right.
That's in Gospel of John.
It is.
And I believe that's when he presented his blood before the Father.
Exactly.
And the Father at that point said, it's enough.
Right.
That was it. Oh, I'm getting chills. Every sin that had ever been Woo! Committed, every sin that would ever be committed, the Father said, it's enough.
It's enough.
It's enough. And the same goes for our healing.
Amen.
By his brokenness,
yes,
we are made whole.
Amen.
You know, he was broken.
He was totally broken. I want to get back to that in a minute, but I want for you, because you're such a scholar of the word, to explain to the people about how on a yearly basis they put the sins of the people on an animal. That this was God's way of doing this back with the Jews clear back in the beginning.
In the time of Moses.
In the time of Moses, yes.
You're talking about the Day of Atonement.
Yes, can you explain that?
Yeah, and this is...
Because it goes together with this so perfectly.
And it's so cool, too, because...
It is cool.
Under the Old Covenant, under the covenant that God made with Moses and the Israelites, one time a year, well, God instituted a series of feasts. One of those... annually was the Day of Atonement.
Exactly.
And on that day was the only day the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies and stand in the presence of God.
Right.
Ooh. You know, go into the Holy
of
Holies.
You're getting blessed, brother.
I am. Yeah. And just stand in the presence of God.
Right.
Only once a year could they do that.
Once a year.
And what he would do, he would take blood and splash it before the Ark of the Covenant and upon the mercy seat. Then they'd come out, they would take two lambs or goats. One would be sacrificed and as a burnt offering. The other, the priest would lay his hands on it.
Yes.
And pray over it all the sins of Israel.
Whoa.
That animal then would be taken out into the wilderness and let go. The sins would go with it.
Isn't that beautiful?
Amen. Amen. And that's just a type. You know, Hebrews says our covenant's even better because what happened is that was only good for a year.
Right, that was a good a 1 year.
12 months later, right? You had to do the same thing again because those sins were just like rolled back a year.
Exactly.
They weren't gone.
Right.
They were just rolled back.
It's like when you buy furniture with zero interest and no payments for 3 years or whatever that is on TV that we see all the time, and it just rolls back the future of when you are going to have to pay the piper. You're going to have to pay for your furniture someday. But in the meantime, you're paying nothing because you got a year free.
You got a year free.
Interest, you know, free interest. That's what we're talking about here.
But with Jesus, the words in Greek are complete. It's not just rolled back.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Gone.
I mean, it's washed, it's purged, it's gone, it's vanished.
Woo! Amen.
You know, praise God. We don't have to carry our sins anymore in the same way that we don't have to carry our sicknesses anymore.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus has already taken care of that.
Yes,
our sins are gone. Isaiah prophesied this. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, you'll be as white as snow.
I think that's Isaiah 1, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Isaiah chapter 1.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow.
You know, that's just taking them completely away.
So here's what I'm trying to get at, Pastor Jim, and thank you for sharing that, okay? By faith, Moses set this standard in, you know, this is the way it was done because God gave him the plan.
Right.
God said, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to build the tabernacle. Here's what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do about sin. There's a problem about sin here. So, you know, and God knew that when he created all of us, that we were created with a sinful nature.
Adam and Eve's fall.
Yeah.
When they sinned.
Right.
And, you know, then. That didn't take God by surprise.
Oh, I mean, no.
God knew.
He knew from the foundation.
He knew the risk he was taking
when he created
Adam and Eve. He knew the risk.
When he gave them a free will. Right there.
You
free
know,
will. Boom, boom.
But he didn't. It's not like, oh, my gosh. It's not like, you know, when he's in the garden going, Adam, where are you? It's not like he couldn't find Adam.
Right, exactly.
He knew exactly where Adam was at.
Uh-huh.
I almost think it's God saying, where, Adam, are you at now?
Look what you've done.
And, you know, it didn't take him, I mean, because Scripture says, calls Jesus the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So this didn't take God by surprise.
It's always been the plan.
Right. I mean,
always been the plan.
We would inherit then, since Adam and Eve then developed a sinful nature at that point. He knew we'd all inherit that, and we'd all have that propensity to sin. Not that I think we're so vile that, you know.
No, but there is propensity to do our own thing submit to God.
Yeah, we have that nature. We have that rebellious nature.
Absolutely, we do.
We inherited that along with a lot of other things.
And we have
Adam.
To work on that. Exactly. So. But when Moses says, okay, here's what we're going to do once a year, the priest is going to pray over this animal, and the sins of the people are going to be applied to that. Now, they never saw those sins leaving their life and jumping onto that animal.
Right. It's not like the animal suddenly became some, you know, hideous looking creature.
No, it was done by, because this is what God said. God supernaturally. Really? This is a huge point right here. So often I will say this in teaching a Beacon of Hope. When you receive Jesus into your heart, you do not see a little plastic Jesus floating down from heaven and it comes and lodges itself in your chest. You know, and you look down and you go, oh, there's my, you know, plastic Jesus. You don't see it, but you do know he's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is that thing by faith here. That's what walking with God is all about, is walking
right.
by
well,
faith.
In Romans, Paul writes,
yeah,
you know, our spirit, his spirit, the Holy Spirit, witnesses with our spirit
yes.
that Jesus is there, that we've been born
yes.
again.
Praise God.
You know, that we're a child
Amen.
Of God. And
Amen.
You know, yeah, and I like what you said earlier. It's not so much feelings. I mean, I know when I got saved, I didn't feel anything. I mean,
right.
when I consider my real rebirth date,
okay,
because I got
saved different times.
Well, it seemed like all the times I got saved before that, the old, you know, I'm not putting down any particular church, but at church camp every Thursday
right.
night at church
yeah.
camp, it was the
sure.
revival night.
Right,
it was big
saved.
Old emotional. So you know, I've probably been saved 15 times.
Yeah.
The last time it did take, however.
Praise God. we're glad it did.
But it's like, it was almost like, this is too easy mm-hmm. because.
Oh, yeah, it seems, you know, that way, doesn't it?
I prayed. I said, Lord, I know my life's not where you want it to be.
Right.
Because I was in a Bible study at this point. Thought I was saved. But then I realized, I'm not where I need to be with
right.
God.
Yeah.
And so I prayed with a guy who was in Campers Crusade for Christ. He
yeah.
lived on my floor. He was the leader of that Bible study. And it was just, you know, a simple prayer.
Yes.
It was done. It was over.
But you had to accept it by faith.
I had to accept it by faith. And, you know, angels didn't sound at that point. But yet something had changed.
Okay.
Something deeper, I think. For me, it was deeper than emotion.
Amen.
And the same thing when I got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes.
Because I did that alone in my room. I had read a book by an author from Indiana.
Right.
Called Why Speak in Tongues.
Right.
Or Why Should I Speak in Tongues.
Right.
And I read it, reread it, and on Saturday, and had my Bible. And Sunday morning, I just prayed the prayer at the end of it. And
right.
I said, Lord, I believe this is for me. I received by faith the baptism of the Holy Spirit,
right.
and I started speaking in tongues.
There you go. By faith.
By faith. It was nothing, you know, I didn't get, some people, I mean, I've, and praise God, some people get all the goosebumps. I got those later, you
right.
know. But it was, and I think that's why I treasure it, and, you know, nobody can say, well, it's just an emotional experience. No.
I
prayed. I
right.
started speaking in tongues. There was no emotion really attached to it, which there can be, and I've seen it, and I think that's great, and praise
right.
God for that. But also praise God for those of us who
receive it by faith.
Receive it by faith, and nobody can take that away from me.
Don't you think it's fantastic? And oh my, mine was an emotional experience when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that's another story. But going back to this priest laying the hands on the animal, don't you think the people had been told, okay, this is what's going to happen, and so all your sins are going away. It had to be a party day once a year when they gathered together, don't you think?
Well, you know, that day itself was a fast.
Yeah, okay.
Five
right.
days after that came the party. The Feast
okay.
of Tabernacles.
Right, exactly.
But I also think they felt a huge sense
huge
of relief.
Relief,
because
yes.
they knew what God had said.
Amen.
This is what's going to happen.
Amen.
Your sins are going to be rolled over for another year.
But the thing is, they chose to believe that.
Yes.
They chose to believe it. Okay? And because they chose to believe it, then they reaped the benefits for that whole year of not feeling guilty. I mean, hey, it's good. They're gone. My sins were gone. Right.
And, you know, it's the same way with us, whether it be salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, or in this case, what we're talking about, healing
for our bodies.
We have to believe that
yes.
God's word says, first of all, I'm healed.
Amen.
We have to believe that God wants to heal us.
Exactly.
That he does heal us.
Yes. Yes.
That you know, that he wants to, that he does, and that it's for me.
It's exactly where I was going to. That's exactly right.
I mean, I can believe that, oh yeah, I know God heals.
Right.
I know he healed in the past. But I have to see it as something for me individually.
I think that's the big thing with so many people, that they know they've heard of miracles. They've heard that God has healed so-and-so, their friend, their relative, whatever, somebody they know at work. They've heard about those stories or seen it at church. Maybe they've heard praise reports of somebody being healed of cancer. But when it comes right down to it, I read this a long time ago, and I really so agree with it. So many people believe that God can, but very few people believe that God will.
Amen. Amen. That's so true. And I remember reading something in, I think it was one of Dennis Bennett's books. He was talking to somebody about this very same thing. And he said, well, what do you think Jesus would do if he was physically standing right here?
Right.
You know, wanting to pray for somebody who's sick. And I don't know. I think it was maybe a female. And she said, well, he'd heal me.
Right.
Well, where's Jesus?
Right.
If you're saved. Right.
Exactly.
Here in your heart.
Exactly.
He can't. It's even closer than if he was here in the flesh.
Well, of course. Praise God.
Then he's going to heal you.
Then he's going to heal you. But you got to get that down on the inside of you for you. Jesus went to the cross willingly and shed his blood. And
right.
I think so often one of the major things that keeps people from receiving their healing, Pastor Jim, is they walk in so much guilt and condemnation.
Right.
And they're so sin conscious, so aware of their own inadequacies, so aware of the issues going on in their lives that they feel that they are not worthy, let's say, to receive communion, you know, or they're not worthy to receive their healing. They're not worthy to receive their blessing because they're messing up in some area in their life. And God says, get your head out of that sin conscious place.
Well, exactly.
You know?
And I know that Kenneth Copeland says this, and sometimes, I mean, I know where he's coming from. The first time I heard him say this, I just got, you know, I just got all riled up. But he talks about people saying, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you were a sinner.
Right.
Now you're saved.
Right.
And yeah, we do mess up.
Right.
1 John chapter 2.
Right.
Says, you know, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous
Amen.
One.
Amen.
So, but, you know, having that sin conscience keeps us from receiving so much because we think God's mad at us.
Oh, absolutely.
I sinned, that means God's mad at me. Well, no, because if Jesus' blood didn't take away every sin,
that's exactly
then it's
right.
No good.
That's right. If it's selective for certain people,
yes.
If it is only for certain sin. Looking at back at Isaiah 53 at verse 6, I love this verse. We all like sheep have gone astray. I love that. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We've all done this. We've all gotten on these jags of, I'm going to do my own thing and I don't care, God. I mean, I'm just going to live and party and I'm going to party hardy and whatever the case may be. And it says here, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we've all of us like sheep have gone astray, you know, and it, you know, one of the things that Christians are criticized for so much is being so hypocritical, you know, pointing a finger of judgment at somebody and not realizing that all of us have stuff in our lives where we are not operating in faith, you know.
Well, and we are. I mean, We all need to remember this. We've all gone our own way.
We've all gone our own way. Woo, whoa. Let's hear what Hillsong says. This song is great. Oh, the blood.
Dying could
Praise God. That's a new song. I've never heard that by Hillsong. Yeah. Let's go back to 1 Peter 2:24, 2:25 there. And we're going to read it again and finish that whole thing. This is, if you mark scriptures in your Bible, you need to be marking this passage, 1 Peter chapter 2. And actually, you could start with verse 21 and go down through 25. So, Pastor Jim, you want to read all that again and stop and comment anything you want to, because I think this is critical right here to the understanding of healing for our bodies now. Okay. I really do.
Well, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Okay. Christ suffered for us. He suffered and died, was resurrected for us.
Yes.
Left us an example for us to follow in his steps. And then it tells you what he did.
Okay.
He committed no sin.
Amen.
There's a tall order. Nor was, and no deceit was found in his mouth. So don't lie.
Right.
You know, be truthful.
Exactly.
When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate, but when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, and you know, sometimes we think, well, he's just letting himself be a doormat. And we've heard, don't be a doormat, you know, that sort
exactly.
of thing. He did the most powerful thing you can do.
Yes.
He committed himself, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly.
Praise
God. You know, it's one thing to sit and just take it.
Right.
And but Jesus said, I'm going to entrust myself to the one who judges justly. Righteously.
And it's not like he was a pansy or anything like that,
no.
Because all through the Gospels, like where we were today in John 6 in our Sunday morning service at Beacon of Hope, you see Jesus being very bold and telling it like it is. He doesn't hesitate at all to say, wait a minute, I'm the bread of life.
Right.
You know, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And we'll get into that in the next segment. But just how hugely controversial that was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jesus didn't hesitate to say it like it was. So it's just that he knew when to shut up.
Yes, and this is true meekness.
It is.
You know, it says,
true
blessed
humility.
Are meek, for they shall inherit the king, you know, they shall inherit the earth.
Yes.
Well, this is true meekness. It means just surrendering to God and trusting the whole situation to God.
Amen.
He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross, so that we might die to sin,
right,
and live for righteousness. So it's an exchange.
Yes.
He bore our sins on the cross so that we could die to sin, and that's a whole...
That's a whole nother teaching.
I'd recommend, you want to know about that, read Watchman Nee's book, The Normal Christian Life,
because
he really deals
book.
With that.
Yeah.
But it was an exchange. We die to sin, but we don't stop there. We live for righteousness.
Right.
By his wounds you have been healed, plain
Amen.
And simple. And then Peter goes on to keeps quoting Isaiah.
He does, yes.
What you just read. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Woo, praise God. So no matter if there's been times in our life when we've run from God and run from our dedication to him, our commitment to him, he's saying, that's okay, come back. Come back. You can come back. You know, get back where you belong. And so often, I think the devil just does numbers on our heads, Pastor Jim, with making people feel unworthy. And like I mentioned earlier, such a sin consciousness and a guilt. So they don't want to go to God because they feel like they're not worthy to get their healing. I think this is one of the hugest reasons people walk around sick and in disease in their body, because they don't feel worthy to be healed.
Well, On the one hand, they're right.
Right, we're not.
We're not. On our own.
Exactly,
and I preface
on
it
our
with
own.
That. On our own.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. But what have our songs been about today?
Yes.
The blood.
The blood of Jesus.
Because of that.
Yes.
Because of the blood of Jesus, we've been made worthy.
Amen.
You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. First of all, God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So he's not mad at us anymore.
Right.
And then later on in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we can become the righteousness of God. There's that exchange. Our sins are taken away. And it's not like we're neutral.
Right.
You know, we just don't become neutral. But God gives us his righteousness.
Amen.
When I first got a revelation of that, it just changed everything, because I used to go around like that. I'm not good enough. I've got this going on. I got that going on. And, you know,
how can God heal me?
How can God heal me? How can God love? I mean, even as far as how can God love me?
Yes. Well, the devil works overtime for in that category against the body of Christ.
Right.
Condemnation, guilt.
Right. Well, and he likes to enslave us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, just receiving this is just a matter of receiving it.
Amen.
It's grace. We can't work for this. We can't work for our healing.
No.
And I think that's what some people don't understand. It's not something we can work for.
Right.
It's something we receive by faith.
Just like our salvation.
Just like our salvation.
And healing is a part of salvation.
Right.
And that's what we've got to get across today on the show, is that it's already done. You know, if I called you up and I said, you know what, let's give an example of a gift card. My son gave me a gift card at Christmas for Dillard's, okay? And he said, here, I want you to go pick out what you want. I still haven't done that because I want to lose 5 more pounds before I go. But anyway, I think I need to. But I received the card. You know, mm-hmm. he gave it to me, and I said, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. There's some things I need. That is great. Okay? Now, I did not say, did you pay for this, or is this just a piece of plastic, you know? I knew, because I know how gift cards work in America, right? We all know how a gift card works. You give the gift card, but you already paid for it.
Right.
You already went to Dillard's. It's paid for.
But does it do you any good until you go to Dillard's?
It's still in my console of my car.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm still sitting on it, waiting on this other 5 pounds to go, okay, before I go get some new things. So it's sitting there. I know, though, that it's there and it's mine.
Mm-hmm. Keep her busy.
Yeah. I know it's there. You know, I know it's there. No, don't you dare go out to my console and get my gift card. All right. I shouldn't have told Bill that. No, that's right. But I know it's there. It's mine. It was given to me. Okay. But I have to go and get it and take it to the store and cash it in.
Because
otherwise
it does you no good.
It does me no good. Right now it hasn't done me any good for several months already.
And that's the same thing with healing.
Yes.
We have to use it.
Right.
We have to, in effect, use our gift card of healing.
That's exactly right.
For it to do us any good.
Amen.
I mean, Wait a minute.
That calls for this. A gift card of healing. There we go. Thank you, Bill. All right.
It's been paid for.
It
was paid for on Calvary.
Yes. Yes.
You know, almost 2,000 years ago now.
We've been carrying around a gift card in our pocket for a real long time, haven't we? Mm-hmm. But we don't use it because there's doubt.
Well, and we've been taught that, you know, there's doubt, there's the guilt, there's bad teaching. There's a lot of traditional bad teaching
going on.
We're
going to talk about that in the next segment. We're going to talk about that a little bit more because... what if I just said, you know, I've got this gift card. It's from Dillard's. My son gave it to me. He told me how much, you know, it's worth here. But, you know, maybe it's not worth that amount. It's $100. I mean, it's really a cool gift card.
Maybe
you know?
It's expired.
Maybe it's expired. Maybe it's really only $10 and he just told me it was $100. You know, we can have our doubts, and that's the way it is with healing. A lot of times we say, well, yeah, God can take a pain away or he can take, you know, something, but that's for people who are in the Word every day, you know, 5 hours a day or, you know, we think it doesn't apply to us. Well, we think it doesn't apply to us, right?
Right.
So often we feel like it doesn't apply to us, or we almost call God a liar.
Well,
now, that's kind of a bold statement,
well,
isn't it?
That's true. I think and I'm going to step on some toes here. You know,
go ahead.
But there are certain theologies out there that say that we're not in the right dispensation to get healing.
Right. Which is ridiculous. Look how many people get healed and make miracles all the time.
And, you know, that's just silly to think that that's stopped and that God doesn't do that anymore.
Well, and some people attribute healing to, you know, planets lined up a certain way or, you know, whatever.
For those of you who have the video, did you see me roll my eyes on that one?
Right. But I mean, you know what I'm saying. They attribute healing to other things instead of the blood of Jesus and what he did on the cross. By his wounds, you were healed.
And I was thinking, because you and I discussed.
Yes. Pastor Jim's getting fired up here
on the
now.
New Age, but It's the church's own fault that the New Age is such a threat.
Right.
Because the church has abrogated, has given up
their power.
Their power, the proclamation of the gospel. The gospel was never just said. It was confirmed always with signs following.
Always by signs following.
You read through the book of Acts. You read through the rest of the Bible. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about that.
Exactly.
And that's why I think like New Age and all the spiritism and the channeling
mysticism
and the mysticism
and
all that crap, the healing crystals and all that other junk is so popular is because the church gave it over to them.
Right. Gave over the manifestation.
Gave over the manifestation of the power of God and let Satan step in with a
counterfeit.
And
it is time we take it back.
Amen.
It is time we take back the authority that Jesus gave us in Mark 16. And Mark 16, let's go there a minute before we get to station identification, because these are the parting words of Jesus when he left this earth and went to heaven. And I love this passage. I love this passage because he says, starting with verse... these are the signs. Well, let's start with about verse 15.
Yeah.
Go into the world. Go everywhere. This is the Message Bible. And announce the message of God's good news to one and all. So that's what we're doing right now on the air. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. What? Go ahead, Pastor Jim.
In my name, they will drive out demons. Mm-hmm. They will speak in new tongues.
There you
go. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well.
Amen.
Now, got to finish the book.
Go ahead.
When the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
Indisputable evidence, it says in the Message Bible. In other words, God did exactly what Jesus said right here. That if you really believe, you're going to lay hands on the sick. You know, my gosh, if we have a gift to give somebody and we are not willing to do it.
Right.
You know, if you and I as pastors say on a Sunday morning, you know, I'm just kind of tired today. You know, I was physically not real well this morning when I got up. And yet I knew I had a job to do, a sermon to preach, a radio show to host. And I was going to do it come hell or high water. You know what I'm saying? Because I had a job to do. And that included laying hands on sick people today and seeing them healed. And explaining this as best I can. Let's go to station ID and we're coming right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. This is Living the Good Life. And it is a good life, Pastor Jim.
Amen.
When we're doing what God tells us to do. Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are located in Clearwater, Florida. That is where the home church is. And there are other groups of Beaconites scattered around different places. And so hello to you. All in different parts, Indiana, Georgia,
Texas,
yes, and so many other places, Ohio, and just places where we know there are people that listen consistently, and people in this Tampa Bay area. We appreciate every listener. You can contact us. Actually, we've got the internet up right now. Tell them how they can get a hold of us if they want to now.
We have
a comment or a question.
We have the email up if you have a comment or a question. You can email us at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Or if you just want to tell us, we look cute.
Yeah, that'd be great too.
Right. So that's all good. And you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and check us out and see everything that God is doing through this ministry. We are in our 10th year. We're excited about all the blessings that he's given us through all these years. We've had some rough years. We've had some times where, wow, you know, you just wonder, you know, what's going on in people's lives. And people go through hard times, you know.
Yeah.
But we have been consistent with the word. And our slogan at Beacon of Hope is where the word of God brings healing, there's that word, and restoration to hurting lives. We're all about the word. It's all about the word. And was that important to you, Pastor Jim, when you first joined us almost 3 years ago in the hotel where we were meeting?
It's been
after
2.5 years.
The truck ran through our church building in Dunedin.
It's been 2.5 years.
That was 08.
Yeah, September of 08.
Exactly. You moved down here from Chicago.
From Chicago.
And you didn't know about us, but God told you to go. Or did you?
Well, I did because I went on the internet.
All right.
So I'm a big fan of our website.
Yes.
Okay. Because, I mean, before I came down here, I was looking for a church to come to because there just wasn't really anything in Chicago. So I was looking for a church and kept coming back to the Beacon of Hope website. So that's how I found everybody. Yeah, that's one of the things I looked for on the website. And I thought, well, okay, this looks pretty good. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go check it out. And, well,
You had to be pretty surprised. I mean, here we were meeting in a little hotel room after the truck had taken our building.
Right. But, I mean, and I've told you the very first time I knew the praise and worship, the preaching of the word, it's like I could relax. I was home.
You were home.
You know, I mean, but yes, and the word, that's one thing I you know, that I realized was, you know, the word was not just important to me, it was important to the church.
Yes.
And that's what I was looking for.
Amen. Because, it's what it's all about.
You know, it's all about the word.
It's all about the word.
Because it's, you know, it's the word that brings our faith.
Absolutely. It's a word that brings healing.
It's a word, yeah. I mean, he sent his word and healed them from their destructions.
Absolutely. I want to go there in just a second. So we are so glad you've joined us for this second hour of Living the Good Life today. And we welcome you to go check out our website and see what's going on. My third book, Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost, is a book I wrote last May in about 3 weeks. And they are actual letters to my daughter, who is in a minimum security prison in Indiana, in a drug rehab unit. And she suffered from drug addiction for 20 years. And she's been through an awful lot, but God is using her mightily in that rehab unit. And we're excited about what God is doing there. We are sending copies of this book to the prison. And many, many women have been touched. Their lives have been touched by this book. You can go to our website and order one, and we'll send it to you, postage paid. And you can go there and get the details about that. And my other two books are there also. Lessons from the Fiery Furnace was the first one in 07. And then Living Large and Loving It has to do with living in God's abundance for you in every area of your life. It's not a money book, but there is a chapter about finances. But it's more than that. It's about all the things that God wants to do in your life. So we offer those, a Beacon of Hope. We offer Bible study. Tell them what happens on Wednesday night, Bible study.
Well, on Wednesday night, we have Bible study. But before we have Bible study, some of us get together. We take, you know, prayer requests from the week and that have come
tons
in.
Of prayer
well,
requests.
Yeah, we take tons.
This can go on for a long time.
So that's
so,
why we started
praise
about
God. Yeah. Praise God that it does.
Well, and that's why we start that part of it about a quarter after six.
Exactly.
So if you'd like to come and pray, we do start taking prayer requests about a quarter after six, and then we pray. And then at 7, we start the Bible study. It's usually over no later than 8:15, 8:30 at the very latest. But it's just an interactive time. You bring your Bible, bring your notebook. Like we said, I'm teaching now on the Jewish roots
Boy,
of the church.
Boy, is it good.
And it's just a time of, it's very interactive, more so than, you know, than a Sunday morning. It's, I mean, people ask questions all throughout, and it's just really a good time. I love Wednesday nights.
Oh, I do too. In the next couple weeks, we will start getting your Jewish Roots series up on our website. We'll let our listeners know when it'll be up there. We're working on it and made a lot of progress with our recording devices in the last couple weeks. So we're making progress
there.
Yes, hallelujah. So we're glad you've joined us today for Living the Good Life. We're in a heated, not in any bad way, but heated up because of the anointing of God, heated discussion today about healing for your body. And if you missed this first hour, this show will be up on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, by around noon tomorrow. So you can go back and hear it. But hang on, because you're going to be learning a lot of things in the next few minutes. Listen to this song, by Janet Paschal. We did this morning, A Beacon of Hope, written in red.
Over on the hillside, oh, so long, long ago, where for you and for me, Jesus died. that's when love's greatest story was told. I love you. I love you. For that's what Calvary said. I love you. I love you. I love you. Very same hands that suffered and bled. He kept giving all that he had to give, and a message so
Amen. That's what Calvary said.
Amen.
What Jesus did on the cross of Calvary was to pay for your sins and your sicknesses and diseases and the pain in your body. Jesus already paid the price. Praise God. Let's start with Psalm 103, and then we're going to go over to Matthew 8 real quick. And Psalm 103 is a psalm that David wrote.
Yep.
And it's interesting. David lived before Jesus came, right? Several hundred years before.
A thousand years.
Uh-huh. A thousand years, even before Isaiah. But God gave David the knowledge that healing was for him.
Right.
Isn't that cool?
Well, David got the revelation.
He got the revelation, and we know that for a fact. I mean, David, he lived a kind of a rugged life out there as a warrior and out on the battlefield, and I'm sure there were many times he had some kind of a wound or a pain in his body or some kind of a disease working. And I love Psalm 103 and the first five verses. I love this part. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Pastor Jim, will you read it? And feel free to comment.
Okay. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Well, I like that.
Isn't that great?
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Forget not all his benefits.
Okay. Sometimes we need to actively remember all the things that God does for us.
Amen.
Who forgives all your sins, mm-hmm. all your sins.
Yes.
Who heals all your diseases.
Amen.
Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. There's just so much in there. I mean, forgiveness.
Yes.
Healing.
Yes.
Strength. Redemption.
Right.
All those things are God, the benefits we have. by being in relationship with the Father through Jesus.
Exactly. Let's read it in the Message Bible, verses 1 through 5, Psalm 103. Oh, my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. That cool? Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. And I love the way the NIV says, forget none of his benefits. Mm-hmm. Okay, these are the benefits. These are the bennies that you get when you sign on as a child of the living God and accept salvation. He forgives your sins, and the Message Bible says, every one. He forgives your sins, every one. In the NIV, it says he forgives all your sins.
All your sins.
Okay? He heals your diseases, everyone. Now, it does not say in parentheses, except cancer, or except heart disease, or except debilitating rheumatoid arthritis, or osteoporosis, or any other diverticulitis. I'm trying to think of long medical names. Fibromyalgia. He redeems you from hell and saves your life. And a lot of times, hell is in our minds, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean there's not a real hell. There is. But I'm talking about the daily hell that we can experience mentally and emotionally. He crowns you with love and mercy. Woo! Pastor Jim, you look really good right there in your headphones and in your crown of love and mercy
that you have
on your head. A paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. And I like this last part. You're always young in his presence.
You know, the older I get, the more I take that to heart.
Well, I feel, you know, I said this morning in my sermon, I feel like that's the way we're going to be in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus has an opportunity to prove that he's the healer of the bodies of everybody that came across his path. Now, we have never seen, correct me if I'm wrong, scholar, Pastor Jim, is there a place in the Gospels where it says Jesus refused to heal someone?
Only one.
Can you comment on that one?
Well, and it's the only time, and it's recorded in at least one of the Gospels, it says, and he still healed, but it said he couldn't do much healing.
Yeah, that's right.
Because of their lack of faith.
Right. This,
oddly enough, was in his hometown.
Exactly. Because they didn't receive him.
Right.
You know, we talked about that last week on the show, that they didn't receive him, his own family, his own mother and brothers and some of the family
in town. That's the only place. Normally, you see somebody in need.
Yeah.
Jesus heals them. In fact, it says in a couple of places, Jesus healed them all.
Them all.
Not them some, but them all.
Well, it's in Matthew 9. We talked about this last week. Matthew 9. Okay, we're going to go back there because if you didn't mark this in your Bible last week, dear ones, we'll go back to Matthew 8 in a minute. Matthew 9:35 through 38 is one of my most favorite little passages in the entire Bible. In the Message Bible, it says, then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places. He reported kingdom news. And he healed their diseased bodies and healed their bruised and hurt lives. I love that. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. And I talked about that last week on the show, about the compassion that stirred in Jesus, and the compassion brought the healing. Did you want to comment on that, Pastor?
Well, it's the same thing. You know, and I had preached on that or taught on that at church, that
yes,
it's faith working through love.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, you know, watch for when it says Jesus had compassion.
Yes.
Because usually that's a prelude to he's going to do something, he's going to work a miracle.
That's right.
He healed people.
Right.
He multiplied the loaves and fishes.
Yes.
Raised the dead.
Amen.
You know, all those things because of his compassion.
And compassion is, we said it last week, but I'll say it again, it's a knowledge, sympathetic awareness of somebody's problem, their disease, their sickness, whatever. But it's part two is the desire to do something about it.
The desire to change it. Desire to do something to make it
better. I mean,
a lot
of people can feel sorry for somebody walking down the street. Oh, that poor guy, you know. But when they desire to do something to help that poor guy, that's compassion.
Right, and it's that compassion that gives energy to our faith.
Amen.
You know, our faith grows by the word, but it's the love that God has poured into our hearts, that compassion, that energizes our faith. It causes our faith to rise up in us to meet a need.
Absolutely. And Jesus, that's what motivated him. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you do not see Jesus ever turning people away. Well, you just don't. He healed them. So we're back to Matthew 8. And tell us what happened here with Peter's mother-in-law. And you want to tell them where you are?
Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Okay, and no, before this, he's already healed two people earlier in this chapter.
Right.
A leper.
Right.
Okay, and if I can just make these points.
Go ahead, make those points.
The man with leprosy, he was unclean.
Chapter 8, at the beginning.
Very beginning. Healed a leper.
Yes.
And, you know, he touched the leper.
He touched him, uh-oh.
Now, the amazing thing is, instead of the leper making Jesus unclean, Jesus made the leper clean.
Woo!
It should have worked the other way, but that leper was cleansed and made whole.
Amen.
And then, just after that,
starting in verse five,
Jesus comes back to Capernaum, and the centurion, a Gentile, a Roman, comes to him and says, "My servant's paralyzed. I need you to heal him.
He can't walk. He's in terrible pain." Those of you out there in terrible pain right now, take this right now.
Amen. And Jesus said to him, "Okay, no problem. I'll go and heal him." Now, for those of you that think that God doesn't want to heal you because you're unclean.
Right. In some
way. Okay, here's a Gentile, and you have to put this in context. Jews, at that point in time, had no dealings with Gentiles.
That's right.
Observant Jews would have nothing to do with the Gentiles.
That's exactly right.
Jesus caught flack for this because he said,
he sure did.
I'll go with you. I'll go to your house. No big deal.
He didn't care that it was cutting across social norms and all that.
Right, he didn't care. He said, "Fine, I'll come and heal him."
Exactly.
And the centurion said, "Oh, no. I know you can do this right from where you are."
Woo!
Another good point.
Huge point.
Say the word, and he'll be healed.
Oh, I love that.
And that's what happened.
And do everybody see where we are? We're in Matthew 8, verse 8. Okay.
You know, the centurion said, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof.
Right.
But just speak. Now, here's where, you know, that would sound, it sounds pretty guilty to me. But he said, but just say the word. Again, say the word.
Say the word.
And my servant will be healed. And he goes on to explain it. And Jesus said, you know, tell you what, this guy has great faith.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, that servant was healed.
Yes.
And then that evening, when they came to Peter's house, because remember, Peter lived in Capernaum. I'm in verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. And I have to say, I love the way the King James puts this.
How does it say?
Saw Peter's mother-in-law lying abed.
Abed.
with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him.
No sooner was she up on her feet than she was fixing dinner for him.
Right. Then when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him.
Amen.
And he drove out the spirits with a word.
Yes.
Okay? He didn't take some long ritual. He just...
Right.
The word. He drove them out. And healed all the sick.
Yes.
This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases.
Quoting Isaiah 53, where we started the whole show. And so that fulfills that and proves... Through the book, the writing of Matthew, that this was the Messiah.
Yes.
That Jesus was this Messiah. He was proving this.
Yes. These were some of the signs that the Messiah was expected to perform.
That he was going to heal sick.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to cast out demons. And that was prophesied in Isaiah 53, where we began today. So we see that Jesus was no respecter of persons.
Right.
He didn't say to Peter's mother-in-law, "Wait a minute, you haven't been to church in 4 weeks now." You know, and of course, I love our people to come to church consistently and committedly. However, it has nothing to do with that. If you want to receive your healing, you can do that right now where you are, driving down the road, sitting at your computer, wherever you are. You don't have to be in a certain sitting.
Right.
Or a certain setting, or you do not have to have hands laid on you by a certain person. It's receiving your healing by faith.
Amen.
Which brings
Amen.
Us back to those things, Pastor Jim, that people allow to get in their way of their healing.
Right. And again, it's here we have a leper, I just want to kind of stay with
Let's
chapter
stay
eight.
With Matthew 8. Yes.
A leper. They were forced under the law to right. stand there and shout unclean. And so right. people couldn't, I mean, talk about a negative self-image.
Exactly.
All you're doing is repeating to yourself, I'm unclean, I'm unclean, I'm
right.
unclean.
Yeah, that's not good.
And Jesus came up and said, okay. And, you know, the leper said, if you're willing, you can heal me. And Jesus said, I am willing.
Not, I am willing.
Not, no, you're right. I don't want to touch you, you filthy old leper. And, you know, some people feel like due to disease or due to who they are.
Right.
They may feel, you may feel like lepers out there.
Exactly. Some
but
of
Jesus
you
said, I am willing to heal
Woo,
you.
Amen. That'll preach.
Amen.
Because he's no respecter of persons. He says that God so loved the world.
He gave his only begotten son that whoever. Doesn't matter. Whoever.
No matter what color you are, no matter what, anything about you, you
right.
know, what you've done, what you've committed,
right.
what, anything.
No matter who you are.
Right.
God loves you. He sent his only son.
Amen. Praise God.
To be your sacrifice.
Absolutely. And Jesus said, I am willing, be clean. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing. And when you go down to the centurion was just simply saying, you don't have to come to my house. I mean, I don't, you know, you're God. He was recognizing the power, don't you think?
Yeah, because he said, I'm a centurion.
Right.
I say to this one, go, and he goes.
Right.
I don't have to be there. I mean, I don't have to.
He understood authority.
He understood if he told somebody to do something,
yes.
because of his authority as a centurion,
right.
it would happen. And he said, like you, I'm a man under authority. Jesus, I know if you just say it, I don't have
exactly.
to see it. I mean, I don't have to. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
I don't
That's
have to
faith.
See it first. Yeah. Well, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel.
Right.
He's talking about a Gentile. I've not found anybody in Israel.
Right.
With such great faith.
Wow. The most faith that he had encountered
was
to this,
from a Gentile.
Was from a Gentile. And now, and how interesting, because Jesus, for God's love the world at all.
Mm-hmm.
So whosoever. Oh, we got to get this song in. The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power by Selah. I can't wait to hear it.
That gives me strength from day to day.
Praise God. Wow. Cela, what a great song, rendition of that song. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think we'll do that again in a few minutes. Bill, we'll just cue that back up. We're going to do it again. And, you know, our own Nathan Burton, who's back playing the keyboard at Beacon of Hope, and we're so glad he is, does a great sound on that one. Oh, my gosh. He used to just bring the house down years back with that very song. The blood never loses its power. Pastor Jim, tell our people while they find the book of Psalms again. We're going back to Psalm 107. Tell them why the blood is so important for our healing and what communion has to do with all of this. Because we took communion at Beacon of Hope today. Can you explain that?
Well, yeah. Communion itself is based, of course, on the Passover meal.
Yes.
And Jesus kind of incorporated, you know, the sacrificial part of Passover into the Lord's Supper.
Right.
You know, into communion. Because it is a memorial, but it's more than just a memorial. And the Greek word there in the that Paul uses, especially in 1 Corinthians 11, do this in remembrance of me, when he's quoting Jesus.
Yes.
The Greek word there means to bring back to active memory.
Ooh, not just, that's good.
It's
bring
not just,
back to active memory.
Right, it's not just...
Yeah.
Thinking about Calvary and, oh, that was so nice of Jesus. It's actually putting yourself there.
Exactly.
I mean, it's making it a vivid memory.
Uh-huh, right.
It's not just kind of a...
It's meditating on it.
It's
not
just a
knowledge that it happened. It's,
right,
it's like
just,
getting it down on the inside of you. Jesus did this for me.
When we do it in remembrance of Jesus...
Right.
We are doing it because we are participating in that sacrifice.
Amen.
We are making that sacrifice our own. So, you know, and, you know, we don't believe that the wine becomes the actual real blood and the bread,
right.
The matzah becomes, you know, the real flesh. But Jesus said, the one who drinks my blood and eats my flesh has eternal life.
Exactly.
And I'll raise them up on the last day. Well, what he's talking about there, the flesh... Is him. It's his word.
It's his word.
John 1:14,
yes.
The word became flesh.
Right.
So you eat his flesh, you eat the word. That bread that we break is symbolic of the word.
Of the word.
And
that's
he
exactly
said at the Passover meal, this cup is a new covenant in my blood.
Right.
And so when we take the cup, we're appropriating all the benefits of that sacrifice, including healing.
Amen.
Communion should be a time of healing.
It should.
You know,
absolutely.
It should be a time of salvation, a time of healing, because it is, in a sense, it's recognizing our Passover.
Exactly.
Which means the destroying angel could not come near.
Amen.
You know, if the blood was over the house, the angel could not come in.
Absolutely. And, you know, I emphasized this today on my sermon in John 6, which will be on our website probably in a couple days. So if you want to hear that up there, wherever you are, or scattered around the world, you can. On John 6, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And we really went into detail about this, you know, that. But so often we don't realize that we need to ingest that bread, which is the word.
Right.
Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found.
And I did eat them.
That's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, it's not something a lot of times that you just first pick up the Bible and you just fall in love. It takes time to understand why you need to fall in love with this word of God and why it should be such a vital, important part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Jeremiah 15:16 when he says, thy words were found and I did eat them and they became the joy and rejoicing in my heart. So when you take the bread at communion, it is symbolic of the broken body of Jesus. It is symbolic of him, the word, and we take that word in us, and the word says that Jesus is our healer.
Amen.
By his stripes we were or are healed. It was already done, already paid for, just like the gift card I was talking about earlier. It's already paid for. What we do with that gift card is up to us. We can reject healing for our bodies. Like a lot of people do, oh no, I've just got this sickness. I'm so sick. I feel terrible.
I'm going to bear this sickness for the glory of God.
For Jesus, yeah. You know, or they think that God puts sickness on people and he does not.
You find me one place where God got glory out of somebody being sick.
He does not.
What he got glory out of was when they got healed.
Absolutely. And if the devil has sold you that bill of goods, that God gets glory from you being in pain or sickness, you need to resist that right now in the name of Jesus.
Right.
You need to stand against that and resist it and say, wait a minute. Whoa, I thought this disease, maybe some of you out there think disease and pain and suffering are from God. Then they are not. All comes from the devil.
And you know, some people say, well, it talks about suffering in 1 Peter.
Yeah.
All through 1 Peter talks about suffering. Do you know what Peter's talking about? He's talking about persecution.
Persecution. That's exactly right.
You know, those who suffer, and you know, it's just, if you read it in context.
Right.
Peter's talking about being persecuted.
Yeah.
Not about being sick.
Jesus never had people sitting all around him, let's say 5,000 or 10,000, like at the time that he fed them, mm-hmm. two different times, multitudes of people. And he never stood up and he said, okay, now I'm going to pass out cancer. Get in this line over here. Who wants cancer? Let's go with tuberculosis now. You know, let's go with rheumatoid arthritis. Let's go with this. Come on, everybody who wants these things. Come on, I'm giving you all this. What did he give? He gave healing.
Yes, yes.
He did not give sickness. Dear one, change your mind on this, honey.
John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Amen.
But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly.
Woo.
Not that you could have sickness and have it abundantly.
No.
Or poverty and have it abundantly.
No.
I came that you might have life.
Amen, that'll
and
preach.
And have that abundantly.
Yes. And God does not want you suffering, my friend,
Amen.
Right now. He does not want you down and defeated and dying. He wants you healed and whole
Amen.
And rising up to do all that you need to get done for God. And, you know, I said this morning that E.W. Kenyon, his book, Jesus the Healer, is one of my favorites. It was written maybe 60, 80 years ago. I don't know. E.W. Kenyon, I think, died in 47 or 48.
Yeah.
Okay, it was written a long time ago. Jesus the Healer. If you want a great book on healing, he explains this so well. He says the best way to get your healing is to understand that Jesus already took your diseases in his body on the cross. Just like 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we are healed because of what Jesus already did.
Mm-hmm.
He did it so you can claim it, just like the gift card. I think maybe that's God giving us that example today. So people understand, you got to take that gift card and you got to go to Dillard's and you got to buy something. That's me. I'm going to go shopping.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll wait.
It's time, Pastor.
You think
need
it's
to
time?
Go shopping.
All right, I think I need to go shopping for some new shoes. So I'm going to go.
Yeah.
My shoes ripped a big hole today. They had a blowout today. They're just like gone. So anyway, but if I just keep that gift card in my console and never use it, I can say, well, I got a Dillard's card in my console.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That is, unless Bill has gone out there to try to take it out of there. But I've got this gift card in my console, but if I don't ever use it, what good is that
to
me?
It does me no good.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the same thing with salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, healing.
Yes.
If we don't appropriate them into our life, they do us no good. I mean, yes, Scripture says God wants everyone to be saved. But if we don't appropriate, you know, Jesus died for all. But if we don't appropriate that,
if we don't say,
we don't
come into my heart,
own,
be my Savior.
Right. Then it does us no good.
Does us no good whatsoever. And we, so many people go through life like that, sickness, with sickness and disease. A lot of times they get the revelation of, I need a Savior and I need to get saved. And a lot of times it may be fire insurance. I don't want to go to hell. So I'm going to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. But when it comes to healing, it seems like so many people kind of buck against
mm-hmm.
that teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is, Pastor Jim?
Well, we think we're not worthy. I think it's everything we've talked about.
Yeah,
we just believe we're not worthy,
right.
That we've been taught against it, that we've been taught wrongly, that, again, you know.
We're suffering for Jesus.
I'm suffering for God.
Right.
I'm such a martyr for Jesus. Or maybe there's doubt. We're afraid, well, what if I ask and it doesn't happen?
Right.
What if I ask and nothing happens? Well, still, you've asked, and it's better than not asking.
Keep asking.
Absolutely.
I tell our people, Beacon, keep coming up for prayer until you get it.
Scripture says,
yes.
Ask, and I like the way the Amplified puts it, Ask and keep on asking.
That's exactly right.
You know, knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep seeking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? It's in the present. It's in the present imperative, which means this is a continual action.
Absolutely.
You know, be persistent at it.
There was an old teaching back, and you know, because you and I are both from the area in Indiana, same area, 30 years ago in our area, that said you ask once, and if you don't receive it, then you've done something wrong, or, you know, there's something wrong with you and you can't ask again. Right. You know, once is enough.
Well, that's,
you remember that?
Again, that's hogwash.
To speak about Indiana and
talk
hogs,
about
yes.
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers, the hogwash. But, that's hogwash.
That's just hogwash.
Right.
Because Scripture plainly says, and
yes.
I mean, I know there's some charismatic teachers out there that say, oh, I remember this quote. I like the Amplified Bible, except for that part. I think it's wrong there. No, it's not wrong. That's what the Greek means.
Ask and keep on asking.
Just because it doesn't agree with your own theology.
Right.
It just says ask and keep. If I say I need healing.
Right.
If I don't get it, if I don't see the manifestation right away, I'm going to be thanking God that I'm healed, and I'm going to just keep, Lord, I thank you. And I'm just rejoicing.
Woo, amen.
And reminding you that what your word says about healing. Nothing wrong with reminding God about what
absolutely.
His word says
argue
about
your
healing.
Case.
Exactly.
Amen. Psalm 107, verse 17. Go there with me. Some of you are sick because you lived a bad life. You know, that can happen. Eat bad food, get extremely overweight, get sick because we're out of shape. Your body's feeling the effects of your sin. You couldn't stand the sight of food. Okay. That's what it says here in the Message Bible. So miserable, you thought you'd be better off dead. Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. I love Psalm 107, verse 20. It's the next verse. He spoke the word that healed you, then pulled you back from the brink of death. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. Offer thanksgiving sacrifices. Tell the world what he's done. Sing it out. You want to read it in yours?
Sure. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered afflictions because of their iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. But when they cried to the Lord in their trouble, he saved them from their distress. Ooh. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his work with songs of joy.
Wow, what do you have to say about that? He sent his word and healed them.
Well, yeah,
his word is Jesus.
Yeah, again, even this up here says, who's sending the sickness? Who's giving you the sickness?
Right, not
okay,
God.
It's your doing.
It's your
I
own
mean,
doing.
You know, you like you said, there's... You overeat, as I oftentimes do.
Everybody does.
You know, or you have, you know, you do harmful things, or Paul says in Galatians, you're going to reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction.
Right.
That's what this is saying here.
Right.
So don't go blaming God.
Right.
You know,
some of it is our own diseases.
Nothing irritates
our own.
me more.
Yeah.
Then people say, God put this on me. No, he did not.
That's a lie of the devil.
You know? And it says, you know, they cried to the Lord. Here's the point. You cry to the Lord, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word.
Amen.
And healed them. And that's why, you know, in our prayer ministry, when usually we type out the prayers, I try to incorporate scripture into the prayers.
Oh, you do a great job of that. Yes.
Because I believe, you know, there's so many healing scriptures. And people need to hear that. I mean, again, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So,
amen.
You send the word. You send it verbally when you pray. You know, you speak it out. You speak out God's word. And you speak out those healing scriptures. By his stripes, you are healed. You
amen.
Are the healed one.
Amen.
And, you know, sent his word and he healed them.
Amen.
It just happens.
And if you are just joining us or you joined late and didn't get some of these scriptures, get your pen. I'm going to tell them to you right now. They are fantastic. Isaiah 53, really the whole chapter of Isaiah 53, is the prophecy about Jesus and what he was going to do, that he would carry our pains and our diseases in his own body on the cross. Really, that's the prophecy of that. 1 Peter 2:24, you need to memorize that. Really start with about 1 Peter 2:20 and finish the chapter there, and really say, it says there that we are healed. We are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. Okay? That's fantastic. Psalm 103, verse 3, God heals all our diseases. Not some of them, all of them. That's Psalm 103, verse 3. And then we just read Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. Delivered them from all their destructions, not some of them, but all of them. And then there are so many places, Matthew 8, there's so many places of healing what Jesus did. Matthew 9, 35 to 38, how Jesus went about and healed all who were oppressed. And I think of Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for the Lord was with him. It's Acts 10:38. Go ahead. You had one.
Again, Exodus 15.
15:26?
Yeah, 15:26. Remember, I am the Lord who heals you.
Amen.
Not I'm the Lord who lays sickness on you. I'm the Lord who heals you.
Amen. Yes, absolutely. And that's what we're talking about. It's done because of the sacrifice of Jesus. So the blood, and we've had a lot of songs today about the blood of Jesus. It's so important that people realize that if Jesus didn't go to the cross, shed his blood, allow his body to be broken when they were beating him, that was blood too, right there.
Right.
All he was just... If you've seen The Passion of the Christ, it's very hard to watch that movie because of the blood of Jesus. But the good thing about the blood is...
It cleanses us from every sin.
Amen. We've got to have it.
Right.
It's where the healing comes from because Jesus was the sacrificial lamb.
And it's not funny. It's kind of sad. Before I got saved and knew about the blood...
Right.
We'd sing, periodically we'd sing the blood songs in the church that I used to go to.
Power, power, wonder working.
But we never sang that one.
Oh, okay.
But we did sing There Is a Fountain. And I had no idea what that song was talking about.
Right.
Filled
a lot
with
of people
blood,
probably
that was
don't.
The most ghastly thing I ever heard of. Now I know.
And it's precious.
Now I know about that fountain.
Woo, praise God. The fountain of blood that flows from Jesus. We've got to do that. That blood will never lose its power. One more time by Selah.
Power.
Praise God. We're going to pray for you right now.
Amen.
Just keep that music just quietly. Lord, right now we come before you in the precious name of Jesus because of the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. That blood gives us strength right now. Lord, we reach out to our listening audience no matter when or where they are when they hear this. And Lord, we just declare that Jesus desires to heal you. And we claim that for you right now. And if you've got a particular ailment, say it out loud what it is and claim it right now by faith. Declare it. If it's arthritis, then declare it. If it's cancer, declare that you resist it. Let's do it together. I resist that, whatever it is, pain,
Amen.
Suffering,
Amen.
Disease, whatever it is. I resist this disease in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I claim right now the healing power of Almighty
Amen.
God through the blood of Jesus and his body that was broken for me.
Amen.
I claim it. I stand on what I've been taught today. And I believe that healing is mine, that God wants to heal me. I stand in faith just like when I got saved and I receive healing for my body right now. Let that be your prayer. I receive healing right now for my body because I choose to believe that God's word is true and that God desires to heal me this day. I receive it now by faith in the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus.
Now begin to thank God that you are the healed
Amen.
One.
Amen.
Whoa,
Amen.
Pastor Jim, tell us. Let's give us some wrap up here. What has been 2 hours? And we were just saying,
boom, it's gone.
It's gone.
Amazing.
It was by so quick.
Well, I just want to remind everybody that nothing stands between you
mm-hmm.
and your healing.
Amen.
The stripes laid on Jesus' back have already, they provided that healing.
Amen.
Just like Jesus going to the cross provided our salvation, that same act provided our healing.
Amen.
And so Jesus already carried your sins.
Right.
And your sicknesses.
Right.
So you don't have to carry them anymore.
Exactly.
That's done.
Right.
You know, those.
Quit suffering for Jesus.
Amen. Because, you know, if he calls you to be a martyr.
Right.
Give up your life. That's one thing.
Right.
He didn't call you to. You
to
know,
carry around disease
carry
in your
around
body.
Disease.
No, that's the devil. Messing with your mind and your emotions.
Right. God gets glorified by healing.
Amen.
And I just want to encourage you, everybody, don't let anything stand in your way. But the scriptures that Pastor Marcia gave out earlier, meditate on those.
Yes.
Get them down in your spirit and
oh,
really
yes.
just confess them. Make those your confession. By his stripes, I have been healed.
Amen.
The Lord is the God who heals me.
Amen.
He sent his word
yes.
to me and healed me. He heals all my diseases.
Amen.
You know, make those your confession. Because hearing those, and I'm not saying just mutter them in your, in your mind, but say them out because it's faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
I mean, even if you're at work, you can, you know, like I do, I'll sit at my desk and say scripture under my breath,
sure.
at least. But I know I'm saying it. I know I can,
you can hear it.
And that's, you know, I meditate on it as much as possible.
Absolutely. You got to meditate on it. And if you didn't catch those scriptures, write me an email at pastor@beaconoffolkministries.com and I'll send them to you
mm-hmm.
again. And then you can look them up and make them yours and put them on flashcards and all that. That's how we,
right.
Pastor Jim and I learned them so often is we just wrote them all out and started quoting them. I do it a lot of times sitting at a red light in traffic. I've got my little different places, things that I'm quoting, and I pull it out of my car door and sit there and quote the word. And, you know, make use of your time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you're saying, and we are saying, Pastor Jim, that God wants to heal everybody's body. It's right. not that he wants you to suffer and be sick and be chronically ill.
No.
And so many people are chronically in pain. And when you get a hold of Isaiah 53, that he already, NASA, that's the Hebrew word, like NASA, like a rocket, he took it away. He took away your pains mm-hmm. and your sicknesses in his body on the cross. He already did that. It's a done deal. Now you just, he already paid for it, like the Dillard's gift card. He already paid for it. Now you've got to go cash it in.
Right.
And you've got to say, all right, I choose to believe that. Just like you did when you got saved. I choose to believe mm-hmm. that Jesus died on a cross for my sins.
Right.
People have a easier time, it seems, to believe that Jesus would die for their sins than their sicknesses. And we see this a lot. But it's time to believe that he died for both.
Because he did die for both.
He died for both. Sins and sicknesses. So, no matter what the devil, what trick the devil is throwing at you, because he does all the time throw these little games in our heads. Oh, God wants you, you know, he's paying you back for this. Or he's getting even with you because you haven't walked with him right, or whatever. And so often, the devil uses that whole theory of God's paying you back for something bad you did by putting sickness on you. Do you have a response to that?
Yeah, because it's absolutely false.
It's a lie of the devil.
It is. It's a lie of the devil, because I go back to 1 John chapter 2. I write these things, children, so that you don't sin. If any of you does sin,
right.
we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous
Amen.
One. And he is the propitiation for our sins.
That's right.
And not only ours, but those of the whole world. Propitiation means he's the atoning sacrifice
Amen.
That turns away God's wrath.
Exactly.
Not just for our sins, but for the whole world.
Exactly.
So God, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, excuse me, it says, you know, God has reconciled himself to us in Christ.
Amen.
He's not mad at us anymore.
Right.
He's not up there ready to
That's
smack
That's good to
us.
Hear, isn't it?
Right. He's not up there in heaven ready to smack us upside the head.
Right. Exactly. He's not mad at us. He's ready to set us free from all of this. We encourage you to get a hold of us. We want to communicate with you. Our prayer line, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Who
right.
can use that, and why would
Anybody
they?
Anybody can use that. If
okay.
you have a prayer request, what we'll do, it comes into the prayer line. Some of us will pick it up.
You, Deb, and Alice, really.
Right. We'll pick it
mm-hmm.
up, send out the prayer request along with a prayer
right.
to the members of the prayer team, and it gets prayed for, and we get results.
Absolutely. So many. So if you need prayer for anything, write that down and
Amen.
Contact us. If you want to be on the prayer team, doesn't matter what church you go to. It's not just a Beacon of Hope thing.
Right.
It's a Beacon of Hope Ministries thing. It doesn't really have a lot to do with just our church. It's scattered around so many people on that
yeah.
prayer team. So you just write prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com and ask to be put on the prayer team.
Right.
There's no obligation. There's no financial thing. If you do want to give financially to this ministry and help support this radio outreach, we welcome that. Go to our website again, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can give on PayPal
right.
and give a prayer. Give your tithe. Some of you, this is your church. Give your tithe.
Right.
And your tithe is needed. Your offerings are needed. So we don't say a lot about money, but we welcome you to be blessed, because this is good
Amen.
Soil. If you plant in the soil,
Amen.
Because it's all word that comes forth on this radio show. It's been a blessing to be with you this week. Pastor Jim, do you have some final thoughts here?
Well, just I want to encourage everyone to, especially in this day and age, you know, we wrangle about health insurance. Well, you know, I think it'd be a wonderful thing. But I also know that our ultimate healer is not
exactly the government.
You know, not Blue Cross Blue Shield,
right.
not Medicare, not Medicaid.
Right.
It's Jesus
it's
Christ.
It's Jesus. Amen. Not
okay?
that we shouldn't have insurance.
Right.
We're not telling you that.
No, but I'm just saying.
Right.
Ultimately,
right.
we need
He's
to
our healer.
He is our healer, and I just want to encourage everybody to look to Jesus the Messiah, who
Amen.
Is our healer.
Praise God. Great. Fantastic. Go back over this show. It'll be on our website by tomorrow afternoon. You can listen to it again. You can hear the songs. You can get the teaching. Write down the scriptures and learn it. Last 2 weeks before this week, so there's been three here in a row on healing, different aspects of it. Get them all down on the inside
Amen.
Of you so you can walk in your healing. We invite you to any service. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, Sunday mornings at 11 is our worship service at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, 3700 Almerton Road, and we're in a strip mall right on the end and easy to find. Wednesday nights, Pastor Jim talked about it. It's a great time of Bible study and prayer meeting. 6:15 prayer meeting, 7 o'clock Bible study this Wednesday night, as every Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope. God bless you. Have a great week. It's been Pastor Jim and Pastor Marcia here saying it's been great to be with you and share the Word of God. We want to hear from you. You can write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Have a great week, and let us know how we can help you. Tune in next week for another powerful 2 hours in the Word of God from Beacon of Hope. God bless you.
From here to Jesus, His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side.